Well, a question for you. When was the last time that you were afraid? Now, I don't just necessarily mean about a diagnosis that you got or bad news that you received. I mean like afraid, like startled, like scared, right? My kids, they love to do this to me. When I walk in the garage, you know, in the door of the garage, they'll hide behind the door. And I mean, literally, there's not a lot of space. So, I mean, they make themselves really small and tiny. And I open up the door and I can't see them. And as I walk through, all of a sudden they jump out, you know. And there have been a couple of times where they have really scared me, you know. And I'm like, you know, oh, yeah, luckily I've got a strong heart. But, you know, it's funny because my kids, they laugh and they giggle and, you know, they get all excited because they scared daddy, right? And, you know, every once in a while, Kaylee has to give them that, you know, the warning, you know, now kids, you have to remember, daddy was born in the ghetto. And so when you scare him, sometimes you have to be prepared that he might come out swinging. So just so you know that, okay? Just so you two know that, that'd be great. Because the truth is, if some of you have startled me and you know that my first response is, you know, like, Mom, I'll start swinging. You know, and I guess it's because of where I grew up, I don't know, but it's just that response, that reaction, you know, I get all worked up and I don't necessarily like to be scared. In fact, sometimes I actually am very cautious in scaring others because depending on where you grew up, I take that into account. Yeah, don't scare them. Yeah, they're going to come at you swinging. Anyway, so it's interesting. My family and I, we had the opportunity to travel to Philadelphia for Christmas. So our families, you know, they live 800 miles away in Philadelphia and 800 miles away in Oklahoma City where Kaylee's family is from. And so the opportunity that we have to travel is typically over holidays, and we love going out and seeing our family. Many times, it's the only opportunity we have to see family. And so we take those opportunities. So we're on our way. We're driving out to Philadelphia. We're on the Ohio Turnpike. And I've got the cruise control set at, you know, and we're just kind of going right along. And we're about 2 miles from the Pennsylvania state line. And I come up over the crest of this hill, and there's this big tractor trailer truck next to me, and he's actually pulling a little bit ahead of me. And I thought, wow, this is kind of nice, big target, you know, and he's moving faster than I am, so I should be okay here. So we come up over the crest of the hill, and on the left side in the median was an Ohio State trooper named Tony. And some of you, if you're still wondering how I know his name, we'll get to that in a minute. So all of a sudden, you know, I backed down the cruise control just a bump or two. I mean, I honestly was not speeding. Technically I was, but anyway, you know, there's that whole ratio, like how, is there five, ten? Anyway. So I look in my left mirror because I can see the median over there, and Officer Tony is not there anymore. And I thought, oh, well, that's nice. He must have pulled over the truck. And then I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was Officer Tony. So I said to Kaylee, Kaylee, I think I'm getting pulled over. And her first response is, how fast are you going? You know, and I said, I'm not going that fast. Yeah, and sure enough, as soon as I get the words out of my mouth, I get pulled over. The strobe lights turn on, and so we pull over, and I kept going. I put my foot on the gas as hard as I could. I told the kids to duck, and I told Kaylee to get down, and I figured if we could just make it to the Pennsylvania state line, then he's out of jurisdiction. He can't pull me over. I'm pretty sure that's not the way it works. But just kidding. No, we did pull over. And you're like, well, thank goodness. Well, we wouldn't expect you to do anything less. And while we were pulled over, he comes up to the passenger side door and knocks on Kaylee's window, to which both of us were like, you know, it scared us. Because, you know, they actually come now to the right side of the car because it's safer. It's safer for them, and it's safer in a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different reasons. So it knocks on the window. We roll the window down, give him the proper documentation, and he says, hey, I pulled you over doing... He didn't even ask the question, do you know why I pulled you over? Right? I guess to him it was obvious. He says, I pulled you over doing 81 in a 70. And I'm going, 81? I said, I had my cruise control set and it was not set on 81. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it was the truck next to me, you know, big target. And that truck was pulling ahead of me, you know, so the truck was doing 81. I wasn't, at least not to my knowledge, right? And so all of a sudden, he says, well, give me your phone number and I'll be back. And he takes my phone number down and he goes back to the vehicle. And he's there a while. And you know what that means? When they're there a long time, it means that they're preparing things for you, gifts, to take with you on your journey home. Merry Christmas, right? Tony comes back, and as we see him approach, Kaylee rolls the window down, and he says, a higher calling doesn't want to give you a ticket today. And we both were like, oh, thank you, Lord. And then Kaylee says, we're both pastors. and he says, you're kidding. And I thought, was he saying that like, you're kidding? Or was he like, you're kidding, you know? She says, yeah, we're both pastors. And he says, well, I went back into my computer and twice I tried to enter in the information and twice the computer jammed up. And he's like, I couldn't write the ticket. And he goes, I wasn't going to write a handwritten ticket. And he says, I thought to myself, you know, this seems like a really nice couple. They seem like a nice family. You know, there must be a higher power at work here. I said, yes, there is. Yes, there is. And so then he's laughing with us and he says, hey, my name is Tony. And he goes, you're going to preach about me, aren't you? He said, I know you. He said, you're going to preach about me behind the pulpit. And he goes, my name's Tony. He says, you make sure you tell your congregation this is what grace looks like. And I said, so thank you, Officer Tony. And then Kaylee said, we're going to pray for you and your family, which we did. We did pray for her. And, you know, truth is, we really do appreciate our law enforcement, and we have many that are involved in the law enforcement here in our church, and we thank you for your service. And the truth is, if I would have gotten a ticket, I would have accepted it because I was speeding. It doesn't matter if it was the truck next to me, if it was me. You know, the truth is, I was taught by an Illinois state trooper that some of you may or may not know. And he taught me that if you are kind to the officer who is pulling you over, you at least have a 50-50 chance of not getting a ticket. Right? You got a 50-50 chance. If you are nice and polite and cordial, you have a 50-50 chance. If you are a rude jerk, you have a 100% guarantee that you are going home with a ticket in your pocket. You realize that? I mean, think about the scenario. Think about if Kaylee and I were just jerks to the officer when he came to the window. You know, this is ridiculous. It's 2 days before Christmas. I know it was the truck next to me because he was going faster than I was. It's his fault. You clocked him and now I'm the one that's going to get it. You know, and then Kaylee looks at him and says, you know what? It's, you're going to ruin my Christmas. You're a jerk. I don't know. She would never say that to anybody. Like, I can't even think of a person that you would ever say that to. Maybe me. Sorry. But, you know, I mean, that scenario would have been completely different. It would have been completely different if we were rude. And would he have taken the time to hand write a ticket even if his computer was freezing up? You better believe he would. Because he's like, hey, if you're going to treat me like this, then this is what you're going to get. So it brings us to the beginning. When we look at the series, our series, The Battle is Won, this morning we're looking at the premise from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, which is the theme verse for our series. And as we pull that up, it's on page 346 in your pew Bible. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 says, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, for us, the focus is do not be afraid. That's where we're going to land today. Do not be afraid. You know, last week, we understand how the outcome of the story goes. We know that God told the army to still march out against the army that was coming towards them. We know that this was not just a threat. I mean, this wasn't just a rumor that the army was coming up against Judah. They were on their way. And so they sought the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, I want you to go, and I want you to go out there and meet them. Isn't it also interesting, and we covered this last week, that God knew exactly where the enemy was? God knows already where your enemies are. And he wants to prepare us to be able to stand against them. So he says, take your position, stand still, and watch the Lord do what he do. That's basically what he said. He said, go out there, take your position, stand still, and then watch. Watch the Lord do what he do. So then look with me at verse 3, because I believe for us this morning, this is exactly where God wants us. This is the message for each and every person in this room. We go back to the beginning of the story, verse 3 of chapter 20, and this is what it reads. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord to be left alone. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin doing their own thing. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to complain and to do their own thing. Now, obviously, we know that that is not what is written in the scripture, right? This is the SIV version, the Steve International version. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. What if this is the story? What if instead of the way the story went, what if it went like this? What if in the midst of knowing that this army is coming and barreling down on them, that wants to destroy them, wants to leave nothing left of them, Jehoshaphat turns around and he says, hey, you know, God, I'm in the middle of something right now. I'll need to get back with you. I've got this army coming towards me, so I'm going to just keep working here at this. Thanks, God. I appreciate your presence, but, you know, just leave me alone. You know, what if the people that they, you know, Jehoshaphat told the people, hey, listen, we've got this army coming. We've got probably maybe a few days until they get here. So you guys do what you do. You know, just do what you do. Go and however you want to prepare, go ahead and do that. That's fine. Whatever that looks like. And so that's what they did. They all of a sudden, the whole area of Judah and Jerusalem, they all met in Jerusalem and they complained about this army that's coming and they basically did what they wanted to do. What if that was the story? What if that was the story? Do you think if they would have responded to God like this, do you think they ever would have gotten to the promise of don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the battle is not yours, it's God's? Do you think they ever would have gotten to that promise? No. They would have never gotten to the promise of don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the battle is not yours but God, because they decided, let's just cut God out of it. Let's just do this on our own. You know what? Let's complain more than we praise. Remember last week we talked about let 2015 be a year that's filled more with praise than it is about complaint. Right? So let me ask you this. What if you never asked God for help? What if you never ask God for help? What will your story look like? What would your life look like? Some of you, you know what it looks like because you're currently living in that state. You're living in the state, unfortunately, of saying, you know, God, I hear you, but I'm kind of dealing with this thing over here. I'll be with you in a minute. And so you know what this feels like because you're looking at the circumstances around you and you're going, oh, okay, I get it. See, God encourages all of us to ask for help. Consider the words in Psalm 50, verse 15. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Call on me when you are in trouble. And what's the promise of the scripture revealed to us right here? What is it? And I will rescue you. Say that with me. And I will rescue you. If you call on his name, he will rescue you. That's a promise. Don't get tripped up on the what ifs of that. It's a promise. If you call on the name of the Lord, he will respond. What if Moses never asked the Lord for help? What would that have looked like? When we look at Exodus 14, we see a scenario that literally looks exactly like the scenario that I created out of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. In fact, if we go to Exodus 14, we see this story playing out starting at verse 12. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? Now, this is the people grumbling and yelling at Moses, "Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today." You notice those words? Don't they sound familiar? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then what's the next action point? Just stand still. And then what's the point after that? And watch the Lord do what he do. Right? I mean, doesn't that help us to realize that even in that scenario? I mean, this is really sad if you think about it, because the people of Israel, they're going, "Listen, we'd rather go back and be slaves in Egypt than be dead out here in the wilderness." And Moses, thank goodness, being the voice of God to the people, is telling them, "You don't want that. God is in the midst of rescuing you. He's in the midst of giving you all that you could ever ask for or imagine. You don't want to go back and be slaves in Egypt. Trust me." And they're over there going, "We just leave us alone. I'd rather be a slave." I mean, imagine that. And he says, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." I like the NIV, the old NIV, I guess we call it now. But it says, "The Lord himself will fight for you. You need only be still." You need only to be still. I want you to turn with me to a passage of scripture in Isaiah 65. It's page 567 in your pew Bible for using that. It's Isaiah 65. I want us to look at this, and this is a very helpful scripture that God brought to me in the midst of the preparation for this series. Starting at verse 1, Isaiah 65. Now, who says? The Lord says, okay, I just want to make sure we're covering this. The Lord says, "I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name. All day long I open my arms to a rebellious people, but they follow their own evil paths and their own crooked schemes. All day long they insult me to my face by worshiping idols in their sacred gardens. They burn incense on pagan altars." Think about how incredibly sad this scripture is. Here is God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds time in his hand. Everything comes from God. And all of a sudden, we see this incredibly sad statement. "I was ready to respond, but what's the truth? No one asked for help. I was ready to be found. No one was looking for me." I think about the scripture that says, "I looked for somebody faithful." And what does it say? "And I could find no one." I could find no one. And here, "I was ready to be found, but no one was even looking for me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name." In the second half of this scripture, it talks about the fact that they follow their own evil desires, their own paths, their own idols. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, Pastor, this is Old Testament. I mean, they were worshiping other gods." And you might be quick to think, "Well, we don't worship other gods." We don't? Are you sure? We don't worship at the altar of Facebook? If you spend more time on Facebook than you do on the Word, I can tell you who your God is. We don't worship at the altar of sports. We don't worship at the altar of even our family. Sometimes we put our family as more priority than our relationship to God. We worship at altars, folks. We have false gods in our life that we worship, and we do it all the time. This isn't a passage of scripture that doesn't have any contextual understanding for us today. This is driving right down our street. And the street that it's driving down is the fact that God's saying, listen, I was ready to respond, but nobody was asking for help. The crazy part is God is constantly offering help to us. We just either don't want it or we don't know how to hear it. Because when we look at story after story in scripture, imagine if Jabez never asked God to increase his territory. What would that story look like? Imagine if Joshua never asked God for the sun to stand still. How would that outcome have been? What would happen to the army? What if he never asked the sun to stand still? What if David never asked to go out and have permission to slay the Philistines? Because if you remember, David asked for permission first. He asked God, do I have permission to do this? What if he never asked God permission? You know, in fact, David, if we could just stop here for a moment, David is, he's got this down, this whole asking God for help thing, and it's incredible. In fact, I want to tell you before I read the scripture to you that this scripture is specifically for you this morning. That literally last night as I was quieting my heart down in preparation to go to sleep, I was in scripture reading, and God directly took me to Psalm 86. And I said to Kaylee, I said, this is unbelievable. I said, God is still writing my message. My message had been written already, but God was not done writing it. Amen? So I want you to hear this morning that this psalm is a psalm for you, that God wants us to hear this message this morning. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 7. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. Look at that verse, first verse. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Isn't it interesting when we look at the scripture, when you ask the Lord for help, what does he provide? He provides forgiveness and unfailing love. Isn't that amazing? Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. David's got this down. He understands that I need to call to God because he not only does he hear me when I cry, he also responds. And I say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I mean, imagine if Solomon never asked God for wisdom. You know, Solomon could have had anything. Remember, God said, Solomon, whatever you ask for, I will give it to you. And Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He asked for wisdom. And in so doing, he received wealth. Because God said, because you didn't ask for wealth, I'm going to give it to you anyway. He says, I'm going to give you wisdom. Because Solomon asked for it. But imagine if he never asked for wisdom. Imagine if Elijah never asked God to send the fire on Mount Carmel. Imagine if Jesus never asked God to forgive us. Because if you remember what Jesus cries out on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Imagine if Jesus never asked God to forgive us. In order for us to not be succumbed by the fear of 2015, we have got to ask the Lord for help. We have to ask the Lord for help. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So as we close, I'm going to read some powerful scriptural promises to us. And I'm going to allow the word of God to speak to us through his scripture, okay? And as I do, I want you to respond. Don't allow the promises that God wants to make in 2015 to be stopped because you're not going to respond fully to what he's asking you to do. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to simply respond to God and say, God, I need your help. Some of us this morning, we need help physically. Some of us this morning, we need help spiritually. Some of us this morning, we need help emotionally. And whatever it is for us, I want you, maybe right now, your heart's beating out of your chest because you know that you need to respond to God in this way. And he's already placed it on your heart for you to get up where you're at and to come down to the altar and to kneel at his feet, start 2015 on your knees saying, God, I am not going to go into this year on my own. I'm going to go in recognizing and knowing that I need your help. If that's you this morning, would you just stand up right now and come down? Would you just stand up and come down? Would you make the statement in front of everybody here, say, God, I need your help. I need you to come and I need you to hear me when I call. And as I read, I want the scripture to pour over you. Now, I anticipate that by the time I'm done reading, that a majority of you are going to be down here. I'm just telling you that up front because that's what God revealed to me for you. And so if that's the case, I want us to come. And if you want to kneel on the front rows here, if you want to stand down here behind those who are here, or if you just want to stand down front. But I believe that we need to go to the Lord for 2015 and say, God, I need your help this year. I am not going in this alone. I want to start this year in the best place I can, and that is in humble response to you. Are you willing to do 2015 his way? We covered it last week. It might not be the way that you would do it, but it's the way he wants it done. Are you willing to do it his way? Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Psalm 107:28-30. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Matthew 6:7-8. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So if you're concerned about, if I respond in this way, what will I say? I want you to know you don't have to say anything. Allow the groaning of your heart to be enough for God's ears to hear and know exactly what it is that you need. Sometimes we can't utter words. We don't have the words to form together to be able to pray to God. And you know what? I'm thankful for the scriptural promises that tell us that he hears us even when we groan. Some of you, you need to cry out to God. You need to meet him in your groaning. And your pride is getting in the way and you're not stepping out to say, I just need to call out to the Lord. Don't let your pride stop what God wants to do, especially today. Don't let your pride get in the way. James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Philippians 4:6-7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Do you desire God's peace this morning? Come on down. Do you experience God's wisdom? Make that statement to say, God, I'm coming to you. You want the peace that only God can provide? It's yours. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. 1 John 5:14 through 15. And we are confident that as he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him, he hears us. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. 1 Peter 5:6-7. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. Give all of your worries. Is anybody in here worried? You got to cast it on God because he cares for you. And I want to make a final request for us this morning. We are blessed to be able to share with you that Hesed House is in need of a new director, a new leader. And I tell you that we're blessed for that because typically in these types of announcements, you say that somebody is stepping down. But Kathy McGoldrick, who has been doing this for, I believe the last 4 years, is not stepping down. She's actually stepping up because she is taking on more responsibility at Hesed House. She needs, and we need, somebody in our congregation to step up and lead that ministry. Now, how awesome is that? And so what I would like for us to do is we ask the Lord for help. You heard me in my prayer earlier, ask the Lord to go before us and to help us in our 1 o'clock meeting. I'm going to take this concern to God and ask the Lord for help in supplying somebody that's going to step up in this area of leadership. Hesed House is an incredibly vital ministry in our church. And we can't go too long. Hesed House is at the end of this month. And we have a team of people that are going to be doing a fabulous job covering all that needs to be covered. But we really desire for someone that God leads, God lays on the heart of a person to say, you know, I will step up in this area. So can we do this as we close our service this morning? I'm going to ask for Kathy to come, and I'm going to ask for the team, the Hesed House team to come. And I just want you to kneel right here at this pew. And then I'm going to ask if you have served at Hesed House or if you have a desire to support Hesed House and its ministry, would you gather around as well? So would you gather around those that are already kneeling here? And can we show a sign of incredible support for the Hesed House ministry as we go to God in prayer and ask for God to reveal to us a leader? And then also we want to encourage Kathy as she continues to take on more responsibility for the Hesed House ministry. So as we join together and as where you are, I'm going to ask that if you want to still come and pray with those who are gathered at the altar, praying and asking God for help, would you do that now? Would you come? Let's all stand. And we're going to close our service in prayer. And would you just come and be supportive and offer prayer support? And again, we want to be in the best place that we can be in going into 2015, and that's in the hands of the Lord. So let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your provision over us. We thank you for 2015, knowing that the victory is already ours and the battle is already won. Lord, we are challenged by the message of recognizing that there are so many different scenarios that could have gone a different way if it was handled differently. But we rest assured in the promise that when we call on your name, you are able and you desire to answer. You answer every time. So Lord, that's exactly what we're doing this morning. Many have gathered at the altar to be able to lift up your name and to say, Lord, I need your help. Whatever it is that they need help with, Lord, I pray that you would meet them intimately and meet them in their need. Lord, we're thankful that we hear the promise of Scripture that the peace that transcends all understanding can be ours if we simply ask. We're thankful to hear the promise of Scripture that if we ask for wisdom, you are faithful to not just give us a little, but to give us abundant wisdom. I'm thankful for the promise of Proverbs 2:2 that we can cry out to you for wisdom and we can ask for understanding. Lord, there's situations in our lives this morning that we're crying out to you for help. We're crying out to you for wisdom, and we are asking you to give us and provide us understanding. Help us to know why. Lord, we're just, again, we stand and we kneel at the threshold of a year, desiring for you to be immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine. Lord, I thank you for the Hesed House ministry. I thank you for Mark and Kathy, who have faithfully served in that area of leadership for the last 4 years. I thank you, Lord, that you have done an incredible work at building excitement and energy and rallying a church around a common need. And Lord, we thank you for all the ministries that have outreach opportunity to our communities and people around the world even. But Lord, we come to you right now and we're asking for you to raise up the next steps, to raise up the next leader for Hesed House, Lord. We're asking that you would place that burden on somebody's heart, Lord. Let it not be about us, but let it be about you. Lord, we're reminded of the scripture that we have not because we ask not. And the reason that we have not is because when we ask for the wrong reasons. So search our hearts, O Lord. Search our hearts to make sure that the plea that we bring to you is one that is of pure motive and of pure heart. And Lord, again, help us as we move forward in 2015. We pray for your presence. We pray that we know that no matter what time, we can always call on you for help. So again, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close this service, I just want to keep a real sweet spirit in this place. And we want to give people opportunity to continue to pray. But I want you to hear these words that God has given us this morning. This is a great scriptural promise for us. And as we read the words here and we close out our service, I know that Lucy has some instructions for us for family stuff. Let's give our attention to the Word of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.